And again, it's our joy to have you here this morning. I wanted to announce or remind you, in case you weren't aware, that there's a tent meeting over on the Bristol Highway. The Ralph Sexton Revival Crusade is going on, and it's starting tomorrow night over on the Bristol Highway, just up from A&L RV Sales. If you don't know where that is, we're right there, Brother Larry, right? Larry wanted me to mention that four times before the service is over. Five for a little extra money, but no, right on the Bristol Highway there, and it starts at 7:30 each evening, and if you're able to go, I know that it'd be a blessing to you, and I just want to make you aware in case you hadn't known. We're looking at Deuteronomy this morning, and chapter number 8, Deuteronomy 8, and we're looking into the Word of God, looking at some lessons from manna. If you find your place in Deuteronomy 8, while you're finding your place there, I did hear this story about this fellow was driving through one of those intersections that have cameras that take your picture if you speed or if you run the red light or if you broke the law in some way. It takes pictures of you front and back. And so this fellow was going through there, and he was going extra slow because Siri had done told him that the red light camera ahead. So he was going slow and went through there a little below the speed limit, and it took his picture. He could see it flash. We thought, that's ridiculous. I know I wasn't speeding. So he went up the road a little bit, turned around the parking lot, and came back down and went through this time. And he went even a little bit slower. And sure enough, it flashed again. I said, oh my goodness, it made him so mad this time. He said, I know I was going under the speed limit. I've had my speedometer's right, and I've gone through it twice. And so he went back through it three more times, smiling, waving at the camera, just getting them to get a real good picture. About a week later, he got five notices in the mail for tickets for not wearing a seatbelt. So, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 12. The Bible says, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and he might prove thee, and to do thee good at thy latter end. I want to preach from verse number 16. We'll take a couple of looks at some other verses as well. But I want to just preach for a little while about some lessons from manna. The Bible says that he fed thee in the wilderness with manna, that it might humble thee, that he might prove thee, and do thee good at thy latter end. Now, all of us, I think, know manna, but in case you're not, just bring everybody up to speed. That's when God provided this manna. Literally, I mean, what is it? Just something that God had provided in the morning for his people that they didn't have to work for. They just went out and got it. They gathered it every day. And that manna was God's food to them to sustain them through some of the worst times of their lives. It wasn't delicious necessarily, not after a few months of eating it. They at first were so thankful, and then we know this, you know the story, most of you, after they'd been eating it for a while, then they wanted more. They wanted some meat, and they wanted more than what God had provided for them. So the storyline goes that God, of course, did provide that, but he still gave this basic nutrients of manna. Maybe it was perfect food. Maybe it had all the elements and the minerals and the nutrients that a person needed. Obviously, it was going to sustain those Israelites as they were there. But we've got this wonderful portion of Scripture that reminds us of what God did for the people of Israel by giving them manna. And we have a story of how God provided. But can I just be honest with all of us? When God provides, at first we're all happy about it. But after we've had it for a little while, we get a little tired of it. Isn't that what happens in our houses? It's like, oh, this is so beautiful. I'm so happy to have this. And then after we get used to it for a while, we say, well, sure be nice if we can knock out that wall over there and have a sunroom. same sun's there. It was up there every morning just like it used to be when you didn't have a sunroom, but now we've got to have a sunroom to appreciate it. Boy, wouldn't it be nice if we could knock out that wall and we could have some things over there? Wouldn't it be nice to build an extra garage because we've got so much stuff? Wouldn't it be nice to, wouldn't it be nice to do this, that, and the other? And not that you shouldn't do any of those things, but my point being this morning is that when we first get something, we're so proud of it. When you get a brand new car, and it's fun to keep it washed and waxed, and it smells new, and it is new, and it's got all of the good things about it. Then after a few years, you don't keep up with it like you used to, because now it's not new anymore. And that's when we get the itch to say, well, looks like this car is about wore out, so we need another new car. Well, we see that God kept Israel supplied with manna. Look back in verse number 4, if you would, in that same chapter. The Bible says, verse 4 of chapter 8, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. So the clothes stayed good, the shoes stayed the right size. No offense, but I know there's some ladies be awful unhappy if you didn't get to go shoe shopping for 40 years. Oh my goodness. That breaks some hearts in here. Not only that, in verse number 15, we already read, he brought water out of the rock, out of the flint. He provided for them at every step of the way. And it seems that God did everything for them, but they still got tired of it. But before we get too critical of the Jews, I just reminded you that we get tired of some things as well. And so I want to just take a couple of lessons from this, right from the Scriptures, this lesson from the manna. God is so complex in His working. Not only did He want to provide for the Israelites, but He also wanted to teach them some lessons while He was providing for them with the food and the manna in the wilderness. So back in verse number 16, I'm going to show you, first of all, He showed them or gave them the manna. He showed His mighty hand by giving them manna. Number one, that He might humble them. The Bible says in verse number 16, He says that we might, that which thy fathers knew, that He might humble thee. To think that the Jewish people on their journey could never claim that we did it ourselves. To think that all of their sustenance was all glory given to God, and it was not on their own successes. I think that sometimes the worst thing that can happen to us is we have a great, great victory, because we're then often tempted to look back and say, look what I did. Can I just remind you, on every victory, and you're proud of it, of course you are, you're of the accomplishment, can I remind you that whatever we do, it's been allowed by the good hand of our God? You say, no, I had this great mind, and I thought through what could happen, I made sure that those things didn't take place, and so we succeeded. Can I remind you to go back even further than that, and who gave you that mind that you've got? Everything that we have is by the good hand of God. He gave you the knowledge. He gave you the body. He gave you the sustenance. He gave you everything that you've got. If you are a success, you praise Him for it and remember the good hand and be humble about it. In 1972 or 73, Forest Hills Baptist Church was the fastest growing church in America by Christian Life or Church Life magazine. Elmer Towns from Liberty University awarded Curtis Hudson as the pastor of that church as the fastest growing church in America. Can I tell you what Curtis Hudson said some years later? He's the one that eventually went to the Sword of the Lord and was the editor for a while. He said this, I wouldn't want to face it again. And somebody asked, why not? He said, because I really don't know how it all happened. God just got in it, and it was a specific time of God's working, and I don't know that we could duplicate that again. My friend, that's humility. That's somebody saying, look at what God did. I hope we don't have to do it again, because I don't think we can duplicate what He just did. And to those of you who have some great success, may I just remind you, when somebody comes and pats you on the back and says, boy, you've got to teach us all the things that you did to make this happen. Yes, there is time for teaching and training, and the Bible is very clear that somebody brings the other along in that. But can I remind you to be very clear to whoever you're teaching that it was God's good hand that brought the blessings upon you, and that's where true success came from. I'm telling you that the Bible says that the manna taught them to be humble. There's something wonderful about saying, I don't know how that happened, It was just the Lord. I'm reminded every time, one of our greatest joys Amy and I get to do is when little ones come around, and if we can catch them at the hospital, if not, catch them later when babies are joined to the families of the good folks at the church here. It's a wonderful joy to look down the faces of those little ones and say, thank you, God, for blessing this family. In ours, specifically August of 2000 and May of 2002 and March of 2006, all three of our children came and joined our family. It was such a wonderful day as we look down at that blessings of God and say, thank you, God, for your blessings on me. Can I just say it like this? You don't always get to do something just because you want to. God's going to allow it to happen. And so we see that God brought the manna in their lives so he might humble them. But the Bible goes on to say, back in verse 16, and that he might prove them, might prove thee. That he might prove or test them or show them, give them opportunity to glorify God. The children of God weren't on a casual stroll through the wilderness, you know. This wasn't a vacation. But God was allowing their faith to be tested and allowing them to prove how good God is. And I have this in my notes, but can I just tell you that maybe that difficult time that you're going through right now, God knows that you've got it in you because he's going to provide it. God's got it, knows that you've got it in you to get through this testing, through this trial, through this little bit of torment that you're going through. And he sees on the other side of it that you're going to lift your hands in praise to him and say, God got me through all of it. And he wants you to be a great inspiration to somebody on the other side of your trouble, on your trial. And they, God knows that they're going to need you to say, I've done it. So can you. So the Bible says that God provided this manna not only to humble them, but that they might prove the Lord, justify him, test him and see. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, the Bible says in the book of Psalms. We don't mind tests in other areas. When I turned 16 years of age in West Virginia, we didn't have learner's permits like we do now that you could get them before 16. You went and took your learner's test, written test, and then you'd go back and take your driving test a week later or so in our little town. But I turned 16, and it wasn't on a Thursday, which is when they tested in our town. So I went to the county that my aunt lived in, same state, but in the county that my aunt lived in, so I could take my driving test 2 days earlier because I wanted to be able to do it on my 16th birthday. I didn't mind being tested. Back in West Virginia, I'd been driving for years, just not legally. We don't worry about all those things back home on the farm and doing things. And I was ready for the state of West Virginia to test my knowledge. And I passed, by the way, thank the Lord. I didn't mind the testing. But the Bible says that God allowed the Israelites to survive on just manna so that they could prove him or test him. My friend, God could be that he's letting something happen in your life just so that you'll figure out what he already knows, and that is that he's going to be faithful all the way through it. God knows his faithfulness. God knows that he'll never leave you nor forsake you, but we sometimes need to be reminded. So, oh, preacher, I already know that. I read in the Bible. I know. I've read lots of stuff in there, but sometimes God has to give me an extra lesson just so I'll learn what I'm supposed to already know. And so we see here that the Bible teaches the Israelites were given this manna so that it might humble them and remind them that God's the one that provides for them. And it also was given that he might prove them or test them, or so that he would teach them that God always provides for his will as it goes forth. As one person put it, where God guides, he provides. Our good missionaries that come through here from time to time, and we've been blessed to take on several in the last several months. And those young people, sometimes not young people, but young families typically, as they step out, they're getting ready to see that God's going to be faithful at every step of the way. But not only them Israel, not only the Israelites, and not only the missionaries, we, as we step out for where God wants us to go, we may not be going to a foreign field. We may not need manna from heaven, but we need daily sustenance from God, and we need daily direction from God, and we need guidance, and we need all of these things. And my friend, that manna lesson that the Israelites got taught is a good lesson for you, and it's a good lesson for me, that we can trust our God. Not only does it humble us to remind us who's in charge, but it also allows us to prove or demonstrate or test our God and see that He's going to be with me through whatever trouble comes, through whatever trial comes, through whatever diagnosis comes, through whatever loss comes. I'm saying this morning that He gave that manna to them that would humble them. He gave that manna to them so that they could test God and see how He would always prove, demonstrate how He would always be faithful. But I give you this last one. You see at the end of verse number 16, and to do thee good at thy latter end. I want you to look also down in verse number 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. He says in verse number 16 that I'll give him this manna so that I can do good at thy latter end. Now I believe what the Lord is saying, I'm sustaining you through this difficult time so that my blessings can flow on you later in life. My friend, you may be wandering around in the midst of some difficult times right now saying, I don't see the blessings of God. I don't see this. It looks like all I'm getting is barely enough to get me by. I think that's what the Israelites would have said. This manna is not very tasty. This manna, or maybe it was at the beginning, but now I've gotten used to it. This manna is not very extravagant. This manna is not very much variety. But the Bible says that He gave that manna not only to bless them and show them where the blessings came from, not only to let them prove God and test and demonstrate that God was always going to be good, but He also gave them that manna so that He could do good to them at a later end. Do you realize that God may very well be letting you not necessarily flourish today so that tomorrow the windows of heaven are going to open and you see the sunshine again and the flowers start blooming and all of life starts picking up again? But my friend, you had to get through the rainstorm before you could see the flowers bloom. You had to get through the difficult time so that you'd know what a good time was when it came. I'm telling you this morning that God, He gave them that manna so that He might bless them later. I talked to a fellow one time. He said, John, I got a great lesson for you. He said, you want to know how to remember your anniversary of your wife? I said, well, I don't know if I know like where this is going, but sure. He said, forget it one time. He said, you forget it that one time, it's a surefire way to remember it from then on. When something significant happens, it makes a permanent etch on your mind to say, I either do or don't want that to happen again. And for the rest of the lives of these manna eaters, they were able to look back and say, you know what God did for us? God provided every step of the way. How many of you ever been in third grade before? If you didn't make, I chose a low grade because I know everybody didn't go all the way, but I figured most of you got about there sometime. You might find it hard pressed to remember exactly what you learned in third grade, but I can tell you one thing, you learned some concepts in third grade that helped you for fourth grade. You learned some concepts in fourth grade that prepared you for fifth grade, and on and on and on. And the Bible talks about one aspect where when we receive things from God, it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. God's building a life. So the foundation of any life that God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So the first thing God wants any life to do is to be saved. But then He wants to build us after that. And you know, some building materials are not that flashy. Some of them are steel and rebar and cinder blocks and grout and some crude 2x4s and all of these things. Everything's not that nice trim work that you see on the outside. Everything's not those custom countertops or custom kitchen cabinets. behind those kitchen cabinets where it's so nice and clean and everything looks good, there's some stud walls back in there, wires running here and there so we can have our lights everywhere we want them. We want connectivity and we all want all that. Well, God says that He's building our lives line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little there. We get it built together so that after we get saved, then God brings some other things into our lives. Many of us, we're blessed that God brought a spouse into our lives and that helps us. But we get the Word of God into our lives. And we get some church services into our lives, and hopefully those bring us along the way. And those are all on the positive side, but can I also tell you what God allows into our lives? Some heartache. Some cancer. Some great distresses. But He does them all so that He can bless us at the latter end. Because we don't know what big thing is coming next year. But since God does, He's let a bunch of little stuff this year come so that we'll be prepared for when next year gets here. And so I'm just saying that like we build a house with all kinds of variety of materials, God's interested in building a life. And one thing He did to these Israelites was so that He could bless them at the latter end, so that He would have somebody to bless at the latter end, He had to provide enough sustenance for them to keep them alive, but to also keep them encouraged spiritually so they'd be able to receive His blessings later. God was interested in feeding His people. Yes, He was. But He was interested in doing so much more than that. Sometimes you get the idea like a farmer would go and he'd put out hay for his animals. But God had so much more in mind than just keep enough sustenance in their belly for the time being. God was also teaching them that I'm going to be your faithful God from here on. God was also teaching them that they need to stand humbly before Him and worship Him for who He was. For if He cared for their soul, their body, He also cared for their soul. And He did it so that in their eyes they would be convinced. That's what it says. God would demonstrate it to Him. He would show up and show out and show them that He would always be faithful to them. And my friend, I want you to see this morning that whatever you're going through, I don't know what it is. You don't want to know what it is, but you know it all too well because you've been living with it. But I'm saying this morning that God is giving you manna. God is feeding you spiritually. God is providing for you through this difficulty. And at the end of it, He says, I want to bless them more than they were before. I'm saying this morning that we get some wonderful lessons from manna. I took just a few moments there to tell you that God's will for everybody, first and foremost, is that they would receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. This may be the first time you've been here at Buffalo Ridge, or maybe the first time in a long time, or maybe it's never quite hit you like this. Do you know that you will never be all that God wants you in your life to be? The Almighty Eternal God has a plan for your life, but you will never be all that God wants you to be until, first of all, you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior for the forgiveness of your sins. You say, preacher, why do I need that? Well, the Bible teaches that all of us are sinners. And because we're all sinners, the Bible says we owe a horrible debt for that sin. And that sin debt is death and hell forever and ever. But that Jesus died on the cross. The Bible says, whereas for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But the Bible says Jesus came to pay the debt, the ransom for you and for me. And so if you're here this morning and you're not sure that there's ever been a time when you've opened up your life and received Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, then I remind you, you'll never be all that God wants you to be in life. But worse than that, you'll never make it to heaven either. Because the Bible teaches clearly that a person must have their sins forgiven, have a clean slate, And the only way that clean slate is attained is by asking Jesus to forgive you and to save you. Because if you go try to do it on your own, you'll fail miserably. You may look at it and say, well, I'm better than my neighbors. I'm better than my brother. I'm better than my... Yeah, we're comparing ourselves to other people. But I'm saying that the person we ought to compare ourselves is the Lord Jesus Christ. And none of us ever measure up. And so if you're here this morning and not sure you're saved, I trust that before you leave that you would open your life and receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Because one day, my friend, you and I, we all will stand before God. And we don't want to do that without the shed blood of Jesus Christ applied to our lives. So that's the first step that everybody ought to take. First thing in life everybody ought to do is, when they get to that age, is receive Christ. But the bulk of us in this room are saved. Since you've been saved, God has been spiritually giving you manna all along the way. He has provided for you. He has helped you. He has been there for you. He has been a helper to your needs. He's been a succorer to your the requirements that your body has. He has done all of these things, and He's allowed us to be fed by manna. And we, like the Israelites, haven't always liked it. But we, like the Israelites, should learn that one thing about it: number one, it humbles us. Reminds me, I know, you know that saying, don't bite the hand that feeds you? I know which hand feeds me. Amen. By the good hand of our God. Amen. It's not within man to direct his own steps. We don't even know how to put one foot in front of the other if it wasn't for God showing us. And God has led us this way to humble us. And that He might allow us to prove, or Him to demonstrate, that He will always be there for us. And that He can also bless us later. He physically, literally kept the Israelites alive with that manna, so they go on and do bigger and better things. And my friend, you may be going through one of those manna experiences right now, where it seems like you get up. Can you imagine? We have restaurants galore in our area. You go down to Johnson City, you can find about anything you want. Where do you want to go today? You want to go here, 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 here. Can you imagine being those Israelites? Say, well, honey, what's for breakfast? Well, you're never going to guess. It's manna. You'd get tired of it too, as would I. But God kept it going for them so that He could bless them more at the end. Lessons from manna. I trust if you're going through one of those experiences where you're seeing, you say, yes, I know God's provided for me. And you say, yes, I know He's been there every step of the way. Yes, I know this. Well, then if you can muster up the courage to say those things, would you just let me add this to that and say, since you know those things, let's trust Him that He's got a plan. Amen. And He's going on from here. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, I thank You for this time to be in Your house today. Lord, I ask You to help every one of my friends here this morning. Lord, I know not what they're going through, but I would venture to say that some of them, they've got just enough manna to keep them alive. They've got just, they look and say, yes, God's been faithful, but they struggle to say any more than that. Lord, would You give them the strength to keep taking another step? Lord, would You remind us to be humbled by the fact that You feed us, You clothe us, You keep us safe, You protect us. And Lord, may we be encouraged by the fact that we can prove Your goodness by looking back on our lives to see how You've done us. And dear Lord, may we realize that You're one of these days, and Lord, it may be heaven, one of these days that You're going to open that floodgate so wide that we won't even be able to receive it. Bless us, Father, to take some lessons from manna in Jesus' name. Would you stand together with me as they begin to play? If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come this morning. Perhaps you're here this morning and you're going through such a difficult time. Can I ask you to look around in your life? Are all your needs being met? You say, yeah, but sometimes I don't see how they are being met. Sometimes those Israelites didn't know how they was being met either, but God just kept on providing. As you look around in your life and you're in a bad spot, But you say, well, God has been faithful. He has proved or demonstrated to me that He's going to be with me every step of the way. My friend, encourage yourself in the Lord in that fact, would you please? Right there where you stand, encourage yourself in the Lord. Has God been faithful to provide for you? Has He been so good to you that you sometimes don't even know where the blessings come from? You say, I'm barely keeping my head above water right now, but aren't you keeping it above water? Lessons from manna. My friend, if you're noticing that God's blessings are being around you, would you give Him praise this morning in your heart right there? Would you just thank Him for the fact that He's just been faithful and He's been giving again and again? He sustained you. He's kept you. He's guided you. My friend, our God's people ought to be quick to praise Him for what He's done. Would you just there where you stand in your heart, praise the Lord. And maybe you're here today and I took just about 4 minutes to give you the gospel. And the gospel is this, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That you and I, we sin. We sin because we're sinners. And that because of that, we're not good enough to go to heaven on our own. But Jesus died for you, my friend, so that you wouldn't have to face an eternity in hell. And now what the Bible says you have to do is receive Him for your as your Savior for the forgiveness of your sins. If you need to do that today, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's right in front of the pulpit here that I preach from. Would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure Jesus is your Savior. This church can't save you nor any other church. But Jesus would save anybody, the Bible says, who comes to Him. Maybe there's some other spiritual need you have. You are saved, but you've never been baptized. You'd like to come present yourself for baptism. Maybe you'd like to come and present yourself for membership at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. God's led you to do that. The way that would work, in case you're wondering, if you'd come present yourself, then me or one of the leadership, we just meet with you this week if we can. See if you have any questions. Get all those answered, and we'd love to have you be a member. As they continue to play one more verse, if God spoke to your heart in any way, would you come? This invitation is for you. Thank you so much. You may look this way. It's a joy to be in God's house, and thank you for being here today. And I trust that, as I mentioned before, that you would encourage 3 or 4 people before you leave, maybe somebody you haven't talked to yet. There'll be folks out at our guest services counter if you're here for the first time, or maybe it's the first time in a long time if you filled out that guest card on the side of your bulletin, or if you didn't get one, they've got some cards out there they can help you fill out. We just want to give you a gift and have a record of your visit. I'll send you a letter this week thanking you for coming, but we just want to thank each and every one of you being here today. And it's a joy to gather together, and I trust that the Lord has helped you as He's helped me in the message this morning. And so I'm going to ask Brother Joe Shaw, if you didn't mind, Brother Joe, to come up and pray for us, dismiss us in prayer, and then as soon as he finishes, I'm going to slip back to the lobby, and I'd love to get to meet you and greet you, and just to spend a little time with you, and we're praying for you this week. We trust that you'll be back this evening. We'll look forward to a wonderful service at 6:30 to see what the Lord does. Brother Joe, would you pray for us?
I noticed up in the choir this morning, this place is about full today, and the Lord bless His church. He blessed with a good pastor. And God, He continued to provide for us. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much now for each and every one that's come today. Thank You for this message. Lord, thank You for providing for us the way You have over the years. And God, thank You so much for what You've done for this church over the last few years. And May you just continue to bless it, help us to reach people in this community, Lord, and bring them to you, Lord, that you might give them eternal life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.